Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Be seated. Jacob was worried. If that man hadn't come to him and wrestled with him, he probably would have been up all night anyway. You know how it is when your mind is racing and you can't seem to shut it off. And no matter how hard you try, sleep just doesn't come. You see, in the morning, Jacob was going to see his brother Esau. He hadn't seen him in 20 years. Ever since he tricked his father Isaac into giving him Esau's blessing. That day, Esau vowed revenge. That when Isaac died, he would kill Jacob. And so Jacob fled to his mother's family in a different country. And though he did not deserve it, God had blessed him there. He had been given a large family and had become a very wealthy man. But above all, he had been given the promise of Abraham and Isaac, that the promised seed, the Savior, would come through him, and that God would bring him back to this land that he left as his inheritance. Well, now Jacob was returning to the land that God had promised to give him. But between himself and his promise, there was one very large and hairy man, Esau. And as you can imagine, Jacob was worried. He tried to butter up Esau by sending lots of gifts before him. But would they make a difference? And then, as if he didn't already have enough troubles, this man comes upon him and they wrestle. Perhaps it was a man sent by Esau to kill him in the night. And even while wrestling, Jacob's mind gets no rest. For what about his family? What will they do if he's overcome? And what about God? Didn't God promise to bring him back to this land? So why wasn't God helping him? Why wasn't God fighting for him? He was fighting for his life. Where was God? Where was God when he needed him? And so it seems as if there's a twofold battle going on in Jacob here. Not only in his body, but also in his soul. And it is here that you understand exactly what Jacob was going through. For those questions and doubts and fears, you have too. For to you, God has made great and precious promises also, of life and salvation and forgiveness and care, and yet there are times in your life when your faith is in a great struggle. Maybe not a man has fallen upon you to wrestle with you, but some other challenge or trial or difficulty in your life. A very real threat to your well-being. And there are sleepless nights filled with worry. And you wonder, like Jacob, why isn't God helping me? Why isn't God fighting for me? Where is God? Where is God when you need him? Well, then comes the surprising turn in the story. We find out that God was there with Jacob. In fact, it was God who was wrestling with Jacob. God appearing in hostile form in order to help Jacob. to renew, establish, and strengthen his faith. And we see this in that God does not overcome Jacob, although he could have, easily. God, as Luther would say, plays with him all night. Although it didn't seem like play to Jacob. But in the end, like a parent who lets his child win a contest, God lets himself be overcome to bless Jacob. And as the struggle for Jacob was in both body and soul, so the blessing will come to him in body and soul. First, God puts Jacob's hip out of joint, which doesn't seem like much of a blessing. But now, being able to walk only with a painful limp, Jacob will not be able to rely on his strength, speed, or physical ability against Esau. He will have to trust in the Lord alone. And then second, Jacob receives a new name. His old name, Jacob, meant heel. And at many times in his life, he certainly lived up or down to his name. But now he will no longer be called heel, but now Israel, a name given by God himself. And so Jacob, now weakened in body but strengthened in soul, greets the morning not with dread but in confidence, not in fear but in joy. For though the danger remains, remember Esau is still on the other side of the Jabbok, God has blessed and prepared Jacob. The God who appeared hostile in the night was Jacob's Savior in the morning. And so it is with you. It is not only in those times when things are easy and smooth that God is with you and blessing you. Perhaps it is exactly at those moments when he seems like an enemy that he is most blessing you, renewing, establishing, and strengthening your faith. And maybe like Jacob, you will not come out of that struggle unscathed. That too is a blessing, though it may not seem like it. But our Lord, who has promised only good to you, keeps that promise. Even in the midst of all the uncertainties and changes in this world and life, of that you can be sure, that God always keeps his word and promise. Always. And he kept his promise to Jacob, not only bringing him past Esau to the land that he had promised to give him, but even more, sending his son to be Jacob's Savior. The Son of God, born as man, as the promised descendant of Jacob and given the name Jesus. The Son of God, who just as in his wrestling match with Jacob, allows himself to be overcome by man on the cross in order to bless. Even though he could have overcome the cross and the soldiers and all his opponents easily, he didn't. He allows himself to be convicted and crucified, taking upon himself our sin, condemnation, and death in order to bless us with his forgiveness and life. And as with Jacob, that is exactly what the light of that first Easter morning revealed. No longer death, but life. No longer dread, but confidence. No longer fear, but joy. And that we might understand this even more, Jesus today also told us the parable of the widow and the unrighteous judge. In that story, the judge holds all the cards. The widow got nothing. The judge, we are told, doesn't fear God. And so won't help because of what God may think. And he doesn't respect man. And so won't help because of what others may think of him. But the widow won't let him alone. In her, we see the cry of Jacob. I will not let you go unless you bless me. And in the end, though she struggled much, she receives what she sought. Now, Jesus tells this parable not because God is an unrighteous and uncaring judge, but so that we will be like this widow. So that we will always pray and not lose heart. Or more literally, not grow weary. So that you, like Jacob and like this widow, though you must wrestle and struggle night and day, not let God go. So that you not let go. Not because God doesn't want to bless you or you have to pester him into it. But rather that in the struggle, you be renewed, established, and strengthened in the faith. That in the struggle, you cling to him alone. That in the struggle, though God seem like an enemy, you cling to him as your father. But how do you do that? How do you cling to a God you cannot see? Where do you cling to him? Yeah. By, as St. Paul told Timothy, clinging to his word. For only the word of God is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Only the word of God is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and for training in righteousness, that you may be competent, equipped for every good work. Only the Word of God can give you what you need. But to cling to it is not easy. We wrestle with the parts we don't understand. We struggle with the parts we don't like. We grapple with the parts that seem to contradict what the world is telling us. But do not grow weary and scratch your itching ears with the wisdom and opinions of men. Cling to the Word of God and the promises of your Savior there. And especially cling to the Word and promises of God that He made visible for you. Cling to the Word and promises of God connected to the water of holy baptism. Where God comes to wash you with his forgiveness, raise you from the death of sin to a new life, and like Jacob, give you a new name. His name. For by virtue of your baptism, you are the new Israel. The new people of God in Christ Jesus. Don't listen to those who would tell you otherwise. That you are not a child of God, or that being a child of God is something you must do. Cling to this word and promise. Cling to this water where you are born again. Born from above. And cling to the word of God which today was spoken into your ears, saying, I forgive you all your sins. Don't listen to those who tell you you cannot be sure of your forgiveness. Or that you must do something to earn it, or accomplish it, or complete it, or prove it. No. Cling to this word and promise. Do not let it go. And cling then to the word of God made flesh, whose body will be placed into your mouth and whose blood will be poured over your lips, that here you see God face to face. And yet your life be delivered. For that is why he comes. That is why he feeds you with himself, to deliver and rescue you from sin and death. Do not listen to those who say this is just a memorial or that this is something we do. Cling to his word and promise. Do not let him go. For he comes to bless you in ways you cannot imagine, in ways great and glorious, in ways that are sometimes a great struggle. And I know that many of you are struggling, some of you mightily, some in body, some in soul, some in both. And maybe you think that your faith is not strong enough, that you will grow weary and lose heart, that you won't be able to hold on. Know this, that the God who came to wrestle with Jacob, the God who came and struggled for you on the cross, the God who overcame sin, death, and the devil, the God who comes now and cares for you will not let you go. Though he seemed like an enemy, he comes to bless. He knows how weak and unsure you are, how fearful and doubting. Therefore, to cling to him means to rely on his strength, not yours. To depend on his faithfulness, not yours. To count on his victory, not yours. For that is faith. Faith that our God, who turned to us in our sin, who turned to us in his incarnation, and who turned to us on the cross, will not now turn away from you. And he has not turned away from you. He has brought you here, and he is here for you to bless, to forgive, to save. Though the struggle lasts all night, the morning of the resurrection is coming, and he is faithful. Do not let him go. What he has promised, he will do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.